What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special edition of the Mongols podcast. I'm Mike, and joining me today is someone who we've been wanting to have on the show for a while now. Hounds, right back, left back, maybe we'll just say fullback, Taylor Washington. Taylor, thanks for joining me.
Happy to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you guys are in the midst of an 8-day break in games. Do you do anything fun over that time?
Oh, for sure. You know, for us, it's always good to get a little bit of time off, but we always use those 8 days to prepare for our next game. And, you know, with Orlando City coming in on Saturday, and they're a good team, you know, we've been preparing all week. And, my mind never really leaves soccer. But when it does and I'm able to de-stress and sort of get away from the game, I was lucky enough to have my girlfriend come in and spend a lot of time with her, check out some of the amazing restaurants in Pittsburgh, hang with my teammates, and just enjoy the free time. But for us, we're really looking forward to Saturday and getting back into the USL games.
Of course. And I guess, you know, when you do have some time off, what's your sort of go-to thing that you like to do or place you like to go?
Yeah, you know, for me, a couple of the guys, we go to Salud Juiceria. Mm-hmm. It's over in Shadyside. Amazing acai bowls. Great atmosphere. You can just sort of go there and chill. I love spending time in Shadyside. And then another things that that a few of us do is too is we go to the UPMC rehab unit, and we spend time with some kids who have gone through some pretty traumatic brain injuries, some car accidents, and it's just amazing to see their transformations and to see their fight and them overcome such amazing obstacles, every week. And going there, you go and try and change people's lives, but in the end, your life is changed and touched by them just so incredibly.
I imagine it just puts everything in perspective.
Exactly. Like, you count your blessings, and it gives you a lot of motivation. The next day in training, you remember, for us, we've made such a connection with a few, not just like some families, but a ton of families. And actually this Saturday, a bunch of them are going to be coming out to the game. So this game for us has a lot of meaning.
That's fantastic. I noticed, just sort of looking into your background a little bit, that you spent a little time in school for, was it elementary education?
Yeah, I was an elementary ed major. I was bio for 2 years and then switched to elementary ed when chemistry and I, we didn't really get along too well.
That's all right. It does that with many, many people. So,
I could have made a corny joke. We didn't have much chemistry together, but I think the way. Exactly.
So, one of the many reasons why we've wanted to talk to you for so long includes one of our mutual friends, Evan Villela, who hosts the USL Eastern Conference Confidential podcast. He also covers the Steel. He said that I need to ask you about some of the teams that you've trained with previously, because he was impressed. Can you share a little bit of your background with everyone?
For sure. Yeah, I was, growing up, I grew up in New York. I was lucky enough and blessed enough to be part of the FC Westchester Development Academy, which produced some pros. Say, Tommy McNamara, who plays for NYCFC. Kobe Spann, who played for Orlando City, FC Dallas, now plays in Finland. And from there, I was lucky enough to be a national pool player. So from that experience, I was able to play at Boston University, played at George Mason University. I had the opportunity to go overseas to go train with a second division team in England. But my mom and dad, we decided to forego that route, and education has always been very, very important to me and my family, so I chose to go to college. But other teams that I'm interested to see what teams you think are very interesting, because like when I'm trying to go through it, I'm thinking about the opportunities that I have, which I've been so blessed with. Because I graduated early from high school, and when I was supposed to go to Boston University, it didn't work out. They were going to send me to Chelsea because they had a connection there. They were going to send me to Brazil to train with like the U15. I was 18 at the time, so I guess they thought U15, U14 was the level that I was at. My roommate Victor Soto would probably agree with that as well. He's from Brazil, and then I was supposed to go train in Nottingham Forest, but I think for me, last year, being drafted by the Philadelphia Union, And also having the opportunity the year before to train with DC United and play for their U23 PDL team. You know, those were two experiences in two teams, along with the Bethlehem Steel, of course, that that I cherish because I felt myself grow tremendously as a player, as a person, on and off the field. And for a rookie year, I think that organization and meeting Evan and being able to talk with him after games, you know, it's a blessing that I cherish. Truly cherish every single day.
I would say, well, not only did you get to, you know, play within the Philadelphia Union organization, but you got to play against Crystal Palace, didn't you, last July?
I did. That was probably the coolest thing for me because, you know, I was on the Philadelphia Union. I was a MLS player, but, you know, I hadn't made an 18 and I hadn't gotten into an MLS game. So I'd only worn the jersey, you know, during preseason and on a few occasions when we have a blue or gold scrimmage and the media would come in. So for me, like, to play against the likes of Wilfred Zaha and, oh my gosh, like, just to see him there, like, he made a couple moves. I was on the field and I was just like, oh my gosh. I was just like, oh, this guy's a legend. He played at Manchester United. But, you know, and for me, like, I had Andros Townsend on my side. And the best story that I have, I think I might have told Evan this, is that Ryan Richter, who's now on the New York Cosmos, we're sitting on the bench because we're coming in at halftime, and he says to me, he's going to do a step over, and he's going to push it and go. And he said, you have the speed to stay with him. And so I was like, all right. Like, I was like, I looked at him and, like, well, I was like, all right, that's really cool. Like, I wonder if he's going to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, he gets the ball. He's coming at me. I'm playing left back. Step over, pushes and goes. And literally, just as Ryan Richter said, I stay with him, and I force it out for a corner. And I think as soon as Richter came in and after the game, I was like, mate, you called it exactly. And, you know, like, he was just coming back from the European Championship. So he was just with England and all that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for me, that game was just, that meant so much more to me because my mom and dad were able to watch me in a Philadelphia Union jersey. And it was a blessing.
That is fantastic. Now, you know, you mentioned, yeah, it's not like there was some excitement in your voice when you said United. Is there a team that you follow?
There is, and it's surprising. I mean, like, I have a lot of respect for Manchester United, but my heart does belong to Manchester City. I will be honest with you there. You know, it's interesting to hear from a City fan that they do have respect for United, but yeah, I'm a huge Manchester City fan. Love Pep Guardiola. Love the new logo that they did this year. So, yeah, my heart belongs to them.
Yeah, this was sort of my first year really following the EPL in earnest. And I was swayed a little bit towards City, mainly because I've been a Pep fan ever since Barcelona. But ultimately, I ended up settling with the Spurs. So sorry.
Oh, my God. I am sorry for you. I'm really sorry. I mean, if you coming in second place 2 years in a row, I mean, that's tough to deal with.
Yeah.
Or what happened last year? You guys were second and then third, and
yeah.
I mean, you lost to Arsenal. That's even worse, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's even worse. But hey, Tottenham's a great club as well, I'll be honest.
Yeah. So is there, you know, you mentioned, you know, you're a City fan. Is there a particular player that you try to pattern your game after, whether it's with City or really anywhere in Europe or in America even?
Yeah, you know, growing up, I was actually a winger, so a lot of the things that I learned from was from a player that played for Real Madrid. His name was Figo. He's a Portuguese international, and, you know, he didn't do a lot of stepovers, didn't do a lot of moves, but, you know, he got the job done, and that's sort of what I'm about is, you know, I like just to go to work and do my work and not try and be too fancy, just get the job done, put in crosses, and beat players down the line, but nowadays, you know, I'm also a huge Ashley Cole fan as well. So for me, like, I think his game, and even though he was a Chelsea player, I would say that I know it's weird.
You'll forgive him.
I mean, I forgave him when I saw him last year and almost had like a girl moment, like one of those fangirl moments, and I just wanted to just scream, "Can I have your jersey?" You know,
yeah.
Even before the game began. But yeah, I think he's someone that I admire on the field because just his work rate and the way he gets up and down the line, and he's still doing that today, and that's just impressive to me.
In your estimation, so obviously, you know, you've had all these experiences playing through college, and then you actually played, you know, within a I guess we'll call it an MLS organization, even though the Steel play in the USL, it's sort of that bigger organization. What are some of the differences? You know, that was sort of your first year as a pro, and now you come to Pittsburgh. What were some of the differences that you see just from playing in an organization of that size to playing in something like what's in Pittsburgh, smaller?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I think that this organization, in terms of a USL standpoint, is bigger. Nothing against the Steel, of course. But, you know, this is a more established USL franchise where, you know, you have more of a fan base. You have, you know, like the Steel Army, which, you know, are amazing at games. You know, it's just the feel of it. You know, like you walk into the locker room and you know it's its own entity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, you know, and it has that honor and that gusto to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the Bethlehem Steel, it was a little bit different. I was training with the Union all week and then going to play, you know, on the weekend with them and spending one or two days a week. And I was able to grow close with the guys, but, you know, there was also like, you know, it was like a system where, you know, like you said, like went from one thing to the next. So I wasn't able to get super close with a lot of the Steel guys within the organization, I was able to get close, but you know, now it's more of I have a connection to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. Like I play for the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. I'm a Pittsburgh Riverhounds player and I represent, you know, the 412 and the Pittsburgh. So for me, I have a lot more honor and respect going into the games because this is the team and this is the people that I play for.
It's almost likened to, you know, for those of us who played in high school, the difference between playing on varsity and JV. Like JV, you're like, you're part of the team, mm-hmm. but you sort of play the game like before the game. And, you know, you aren't looked upon as, aren't looked upon as favorably, but the main focus is varsity.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, like for me, like I think you put it exactly it. You know, for me, my mindset has always been no matter where I play, no matter what jersey, I'm always going to play for the team. But, you know, when you go from the Philadelphia Union to the Steel, like, there's always a development period mm-hmm. where, you know, like, they want you to go work on things. And, of course, you know, you worry about results. But here I've learned, you know, that concept of, you know, playing for the crest and how important that really is. And that comes from Coach Dave and, you know, the way he sort of instructs everything and teaches us and, you know, that started January 14th, 2 weeks before, or a week before, you know, even MLS teams are going out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's been a great transition.
Talking a little bit about, you know, the game itself, you mentioned Coach Brandt. You've been bouncing around a little bit from left side to right side. Has that been more or less due to defensive strategy, or is that an offensive strategy? Sort of what goes into play into figuring out what side you're on?
Yeah, for me, you know, I'm a footballer, so I go wherever the coach tells me. You know, I think we've tried a few different things where, you know, we have inverted wing backs where, you know, I think where the first game we did it was against Harrisburg and it was pretty successful in the first half and, ended up with a good win. But, you know, coach likes when we were able to cut back onto our strong foot, dominant foot mm-hmm. and, you know, have the defense step up a little bit and then you can dump the ball in behind because they're not really expecting it. Mm-hmm. Sort of like our Aaron Robin-esque, for me, an Aaron Robin-esque type of movement because, you know, everyone, he's on the right side and then he'll cut back in onto the left. Mm-hmm. And it sort of creates a different dynamic for the team. But, you know, in terms of me, like, for me, it's easy because I just love playing. So no matter where he puts me, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah, and, you know, you guys have only given up one goal in the past five games. So defensively, you've got to be happy. That's a bit of a big difference from earlier in the season where it seemed almost a little bit like the team may have been focused on just outscoring the opposition. Was there a shift in the way that the team is playing or is it just more about the opponents you guys have gone up against that's helped to determine, you know, the fact that you guys have only let up one goal in the past five matches?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, it's the beginning of the season and, you know, the first few games, you know, you're getting your feet underneath you. And I think with the additions of Joe Greenspan and Lalas and other players who have come in and, you know, I think we just gelled, you know, we found a way to work together and in training, you see it even more, you know, like in training, there's a lot of things that in the beginning of the year would happen or come off, but they don't happen anymore because, you know, we found that cohesiveness and we found that confidence in each other. So I wouldn't say it's as much about the opponents because, you know, we're taught and we believe that no matter who we go up against, we're going to win and keep goals out. So Yeah. And Trey's done an amazing job as well.
Yeah.
So Trey and Kiesel, yeah, so it's been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're roughly a third of the way through the season, and you guys are currently in fifth. Mm-hmm. You mentioned sort of those snowy days back in January when you guys were starting. Is this sort of, when Coach was sort of laying out the game plan of, like, this is who we're going to be, do you think we're sort of there yet, or do you think we still have a little bit of ways to go to get to where he wants to be based on that vision that was sort of laid out way back in January?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, the goal is to win the USL. So I don't know. I can't say that we're there yet because we haven't achieved that yet.
Okay.
So for us, I think at the end of the year, that's when it matters. I mean, in the beginning of the year, it's great to be in first place and second place and third place. But, you know, when it comes October 14th and we're playing Ottawa and, you know, we're standing at the top of the Eastern Conference, I think that's when we can say, all right, like our goal is on its way to being achieved, and that's when it matters the most, is the last game of the season.
That feels like a premonition. I like that, you know, playing that last game staying at the top. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, you got to be positive to be positive, I believe.
That's right. Speaking of being positive, you know, unfortunately you guys had the loss in the Open Cup, the loss to Louisville, the draw to Harrisburg. What's the mentality like in the locker room right now?
It's great. You know, I think to be honest, that's another thing is that, you know, I've grown so close with pretty much everyone on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's a great group of guys. Coach, you know, selected these players, and you can see that. You know, there's no feeling sorry for ourselves. I mean, that's not the team that we are. You know, if there's a loss, we bounce back, we learn from it, and we go out the next day and get a better result. You know, and that's what this team is about. You know, no matter what the result is, you know, as long as we give our all and we play the way that we want to play, we believe the results will come.
Give everybody a little bit more insight into you. How do you stay loose before games? Do you have any sort of pregame rituals or anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm a huge believer in rituals and sticking to a schedule. So for me, you know, a day of a game, it depends on the time, but you know, I'm a very religious person, so every day I go to church every day. So I start my day off with church. I'll come home. I speak to my girlfriend and my family quite a bit in my free time. I love being able to stay in contact with them. You know, I thank God for iPhones because, man, I don't know how they did it with letters and everything like that. Yeah, for me, I go to church. I come home. I have a good breakfast, a nice protein ball that my girlfriend has made for me. And then, you know, I'll have lunch at Olive Garden. I love going to Olive Garden. I started that after I actually read an article by Derek Jeter. And it was in the Players Tribune about how he talks about how he does the same thing before every game, same stretching routine, same Starbucks, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge, being from New York, you know, he was one of my role models growing up. So I'll have the same Olive Garden meal, come home, relax a little bit. I'll play FIFA. I'll play online too, because I start to get into that mindset of, you know, I got to start to get ready to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I need to play against people online, and if I lose, like, I got to go win two or three more games until until I'm ready to leave. So luckily I get home around 2:30, so I'm about two hours of good FIFA in. And then from there, you know, me and Victor, who's my roommate, will leave for the stadium, get there, go through my treatment, go through my stretching routine, go through, you know, talking with the guys, hearing about what's going on in their day and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we're ready to step onto the field, you know, that push turns on even more, and we get ready for the 3 points.
That sounds like quite the setup. Who's your FIFA team?
See, it's interesting. I'm a huge City fan, but I love playing with Arsenal and Liverpool. Recently, it's been Arsenal. Yeah, I don't know what it is. They, like, the way that they play, like, the way the FIFA people made them, incredible. No, I mean, if you think about it, FIFA's all about speed. So you have Oxlade-Chamberlain, you have Theo Walcott, you have Sanchez. I put people on the, like, from the reserves who just have, like, high speed and just play it like that. Put Danny Welbeck at center back, take out Mertesacker. Like, I play for the win. So, yeah, I take everything very, very seriously. I always want to win.
I was going to say, part of you doesn't feel dirty playing as Arsenal, as a City fan?
Oh, if I'm winning, no chance. If I lose, oh, I got it. Maybe I'll think about going back to City.
That's funny. Let's talk a little bit about Orlando. You know, what have the preparations been like this week?
Yeah, you know, we're going through our system. I don't know how much of that I can reveal, but, you know, we've played a few systems. And this week in training has been really, really great. You know, I think the flow and the connectiveness going forward has been, it's been strong. And I got to say that this system that we're playing in all week long has proven and shown that it's going to be successful. You know, and for us, you know, tomorrow we'll go in and we'll do our scout against Orlando City. But, you know, no matter what they come out with, you know, I think the way that we're playing and training and the way that we're feeling in the locker room, it's a loose, it's a confidence. You know, it's a freedom that I think that everyone will see on Saturday.
Give me your prediction. How do you see this game shaking out?
I see a 2-0 win.
All right. Keeping the shutout streak. I like it.
Yeah, I see a goal from Corey Herzog. I see a goal from Romeo Parks.
Assist
from Kevin Kerr on one. I'm going into detail. I'm going to be honest.
hey, it's that premonition. Put it all out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good win.
Awesome. Well, you know, Taylor, I know you guys are busy, so I'm going to let you get back to it. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
I was going to say, everyone, you can go follow Taylor on Twitter at TBMMW4 and be sure to get down to Highmark Stadium this Saturday at 7 p.m. to cheer on Taylor and the rest of the guys as they take on Orlando City B. Thanks again, Taylor.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's awesome to be on here. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you very, very soon.